Thank you, Ms. Lisa, Brother Chris, thank you for coming today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Revelation chapter 18. If you don't have a Bible, I think there's one maybe in front of you. Revelation chapter 18. As we look today at the conquest of wickedness, the conquest or the overthrow or the downfall. Last week we looked at we talked about in Revelation 17, we talked about Babylon the Great and how it really appears, no one knows for sure, but it really appears that Babylon the Great is not just one church or even one entity, that it is a conglomerate, it is a panacea, it is the whole bale of hay, you could say, of sin, of the system, possibly, that is against the Lord Jesus Christ, and God's going to snuff out one day. He's going to take care of all the wickedness, all the corruption, all the evil of this world, that during the Great Tribulation period, after the rapture, is really going to ramp up. It's going to be a lot worse than we could ever imagine today. It may seem bad today. There's a lot of wrongdoing, a lot of bad things today, but nothing, and Jesus said this in Matthew 24, nothing has ever happened and will ever happen again like what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation period, that 7 years after the rapture. Revelation 18, if you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we read a couple of verses in Revelation 18. God's word says, after these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. Father, bless your word. In Christ's holy name, amen. You know, violence and hatred and fraud and deception and all of those things, sexual immorality, is all around us. It's in the movie theater. Years ago, you could go to the movie theater, couldn't you? And you could watch a decent show, but now you have to deal with all of those things that cloud your mind and fill your mind, and it's all over the TV as well. And so our entertainment, what we enjoy, our society, sometimes determines what level of morality we're on. If our society as a whole loves violence and nudity and wickedness and all of that, then it shows that our society is not a God society. It's not a God-fearing society. It's more of a godless society, not following God's word. And sometimes you and I would probably say, well, how low can we go? Well, we can go much, much lower, because that's what's going to happen during the Great Tribulation period. The world is going to go as low as it can go during that time. Let me share a couple of verses with you. Hebrews chapter 13, 4. I just want you to know some of these verses that talk about how we're to live our life, how we're to live as believers. Let marriage be held in honor among all, and let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. God's going to judge those people that say, it's okay to do what I want to do. I can live apart from God. I can do what I want to do in the confines of my own house. That's not what the scriptures say. Ecclesiastes 12:4 says, for God will bring every deed, that means everything we do, into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. In other words, the things that nobody knows that you have done, God's going to bring it to judgment one day because he saw it. He's going to bring all of the things in public. It's almost going to be like a giant jumbotron maybe one day. And when we stand before a holy and righteous God, everything we've done in secret and in public is going to flash right before our eyes. And all that we're going to be able to say is, "You're right, God, I'm guilty." And for those who have not trusted the Lord Jesus on that day, that have not surrendered, and He is their Lord and their boss, it's going to be too late for them. They're going to perish. I love what the late Adrian Rogers said. He said, "To believe in the Lord Jesus is not past tense. You never see where it says believed. It always says believe on the Lord. It's the present tense. What are you doing now? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved," is what he says. What the Bible says. Romans chapter 2 verse 2 says, "We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things." And the things are all of the immorality things. In Romans chapter 1, there's a list of all those things that the judgment of God is going to fall on. And it's obviously just common sense for the most part for those who don't practice what God wants you and I to practice. We're not saved by good works. We're saved, and then we practice our good works. Saved to good works. So let me give you number one that I want you to see today. First, I want you to notice, first of all, the glorious angel's proclamation. Let me do this first before I show that. If you would turn with me to Romans chapter 1, I don't want to miss this. Romans chapter 1, and hold your place in Revelation, but turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 28. Romans chapter 1, verse 28 says, and these are the things that are talked about here. Practice such things. So I'm backing up just a little bit from this Romans 2:2. Romans 1:28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, or God turned them over to what they wanted, to do those things which are not fitting or not wise or not biblical, being filled with all unrighteousness. And then he says, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, discerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice these things that were just listed are deserving of death. He's talking about spiritual death, which ends in hell. Not only do the same, here's what I want you to note, but not only do the same, but also approves of those who practice them. And here's what he's saying, especially that last part, Romans 1, 32, at the last part, last phrase there. God is saying that if somebody is very, very deceitful, they're disobedient to parents, they're very unloving, they're hateful, they're malicious, they're extremely untrustworthy, they're a backbiter, and so on. With the list you have here, God is saying that they're not only going to face God on judgment day, but anyone who says they're okay or approves of those things is going to face God's judgment on judgment day as well. So that's what God's saying. So, and when we think about sin, and we think about how much God hates sin, if you and I say, "Well, I've got a son that went off this track here, and I've changed my view on what God says now about homosexuality or about this and that," I don't know. If we do that, we're going to face judgment too. We're going to face judgment because God says we're not to do that. And so be careful, brothers and sisters, be careful that even if your own children deviate from God's word, that you never deviate. That you say, "I'm standing firm," because as we sang just a moment ago, the anchor holds. The anchor that the Lord Jesus gave me, and he died on the cross for my sins. I'm not going to let those things in my life, the culture and society, even my own children, they didn't die on the cross for me. So I'm not going to let them influence me. And so we see a few things. Let me give you number one, the glorious angel's proclamation. Verse 1 talks about, after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority. And the earth was illuminated, was brightly shining with his, this angel's glory. So he comes down, he illuminates, he's fresh, he brings divine light down during the great tribulation period. He obviously is from God in this text, and he is righteous, he is blessed, what he's bringing. Anytime God illuminates, it is a blessed thing. Whenever you help your loved one, whenever you encourage your loved one to follow the Lord Jesus and to follow after the Lord Jesus and to read God's Word and to do those things, you are illuminating God's Word. You are illuminating what God wants you to illuminate. Anytime God acts on your behalf or our behalf, it is a blessing. And another angel during the Great Tribulation period comes and sends and carries out God's divine plan to unfold upon this earth. Many things are going to happen. But we do see an angel's proclamation. Let me give you the second thing we're going to see. We see a great people's command in verse 4. Great people's command. Verse 4 says, "And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues." God's telling these people who happen to be his children, he's talking to them, he's talking to the saved here, to separate themselves, just as he tells you and I, not to be around unbelievers, because we know they're everywhere. But because we're to help them come to Christ. But are we to practice what they practice with them? And no, we're not to do that. That's what he's talking about when he's saying be separate. He doesn't want us to practice the lifestyle, the unbiblical worldview that they're practicing. This has been a plea from God ever since the Old Testament days and the New Testament. Romans 12:2 says this: "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing," dear friend, God tests you. God allows you to be tested, because by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And so if you weren't tested, if you weren't pushed to your limit, then you wouldn't know what God's will would be for your life. If you had it easy, if you were always on easy street, you wouldn't know what God's will is. So that's why you struggle with your finances. That's why your marriage and your relationship struggle. Your children are trying to get away from you and give you anxiety and stress. That's why all of these calamities, all of these things happen, because God is testing you, that you may know what his will is for your life. God has not called you to be frustrated and to be always down in the dumps because things aren't going well. Because, dear friend, they're not going well for any of us, if we're honest. There may be a few people, but I'm telling you, if those of us that love the Lord Jesus, this is the only hell we're going to have to deal with. Amen? And unfortunately, for those who don't follow the Lord Jesus, this is the only heaven they're going to get down here in this wicked, evil world. Romans 13:14 says, I don't know if I have it, I do, "But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh." Don't allow what your desires are, what you want. Your heart, be careful with your heart. The scripture said the heart's deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? In other words, be careful. just because you feel like this is what you should do, or you feel like you should go over here and confront them, or you feel like this is what needs to happen, be careful. That could be a lie from your flesh. Make no provision, Romans 13, 14 says, to gratify your own desires. God, people have to dwell. We have to dwell in the midst of this sinful world. The prophet Daniel didn't. We know he dwelt among kings. He worked among kings. But he didn't participate in the things the kings were participating in. So it's time, Christians, we stand up for our principles. We say no. Again, whether it's our children, whether it's our family, whoever it is, we're to follow the Lord Jesus. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 26 says, like a muddied spring or a polluted fountain is a righteous man or a righteous woman who gives away to the wicked, who gives himself to the wicked. You're muddy in the spring. You're polluting the fountain of your life when you give away to what maybe your children, your grandchildren, your cousins, your neighbors, your spouse, I don't know. Be whoever it may be, your boss. Don't give away. Don't allow your fountain to be polluted. Don't allow you to be muddied, a muddied spring. Be more diligent with the Lord Jesus. Don't muddy your spring. Don't pollute your fountain. Be the salt and the life that God, the light that God calls you to be. Let me give you number three. We see here in these three verses a grand society's lament. Notice verse 11. And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her. Talking about Babylon the Great. For no one buys their merchandise anymore. And verse 15 says, the merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at a distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing. Verse 19, they threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing and saying, alas, alas, that great city in which all who had ships on the sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she is made desolate. In 2010, the stock market fell 1,000 points in a 20-minute span. And so people who had invested a lot of money lost a lot of money in that day. But the greatest crash that I'm aware of, stock market crash, was in 1929. It's called Black Tuesday. Billions of dollars were lost. And that was in 1929. 16 million shares were traded that day. It started the spiral downing of what began the Great Depression. But in Revelation chapter 18, we've not seen anything. And we're never going to see anything like the great spiraling down of our society, of all the wealth and all the economy and everything else, all the religious stuff of this world. It's going to spiral down as never before, is what God is saying here in Revelation 18, verse 11 and 15 and 19. You know, thinking about prosperity and all of that, have you ever asked yourself, why do the wicked seem to prosper so much? Why do those people who already have everything, they're already born with a silver spoon in their mouth, why do they prosper so much? Why do they seem to have it easy? Why does things seem to go so well with them? If you ask yourself that question, then why do we struggle? Why do we have to live from paycheck to paycheck? Why do we have all of these things happen? Well, if you ask yourself that question, you're in good company. King David asked that question. Job asked that question. And Jeremiah. There may have been others, but But several of God's greats asked that question. You're not alone. I want you to know, dear friend, wickedness has many friends. Wickedness has many friends. It's a very prosperous business, very profitable. And during the Great Tribulation period, the people of this world who live for the almighty dollar, and we know many do today, we know the love of money is the root of all evil, and there are so many that love money. We need it, but we shouldn't love it. But during the Great Tribulation period, the almighty dollar and all that goes with it is going to fall very, very hard. There's coming a day in the future when people are going to weep and wail. We just read that. They're going to lament and cry out like they're dying, you could say. Maybe they are. And they're going to say, we've lost everything, as you read, we just read, in 1 hour. Not 1 year, not 1 week. We lost everything. God took it all down in 1 hour. You don't think God's in charge of everything? He can take this world out. He can do what he wants to. He can snuff us out in 1 hour. Amen? He can actually do it in 1 second if he wants to. People of this world is going to mourn because of their sin. And they're going to mourn because their profit is gone. No more money to be made. No more system of evil to follow after. The false enjoyment and shallow hope of Babylon, the great, is gone forever. Notice what the great prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 14. He says, Sheol, which is another word for hell, beneath is stirred up to meet you when you come to hell. It rouses the shades to greet you. All who were leaders of the earth, it raises from their thrones to all who were kings of the nations. Sometimes we think the world leaders in our society get away with what they're getting away with. Dear friend, they're not going to get away with it. If they don't follow after the Lord Jesus, they're going to end up in Sheol, just like the rest of us. They may have all the wealth, all the protection, all whatever to themselves, but they don't have anything without the Lord Jesus. We have just as much, if not more. Obviously, we do have more if they don't have the Lord Jesus. Let me give you the last truth today. We see a grieving residence. They rejoice, though. All the grieved residents, the ones that are hurting, the ones that have been killed, the ones that have struggled, there is going to be some rejoicing for them. For you and I and all of us who follow the Lord Jesus, it may be difficult now, but one day we're going to rejoice. Look at verse 20 with me. The Bible says, rejoice over her, O heaven, and your holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. In other words, God's going to avenge one day. God will make the wrongs right. God will pay back the evil that the ones who have committed the evil deserve. People and businesses and even churches and nations are going to get what they deserve. Can we rejoice in the death of Hitler and Osama bin Laden and Jeffrey Dahmer and all of those people of this world that's caused calamity? According to the scripture, we can. But we only rejoice in the righteous resolution that God's judgment brings. We rejoice when God's honored. We rejoice when God's glorified. And so in the text here, the saints are told to rejoice because God's judgment has avenged the prophets that were slain and the saints that were slain. Babylon deceived all the nations. Babylon slew the saints of God. And now justice, during the Great Tribulation period, at this point, is going to be completely done. When the Lord Jesus comes riding in on that horse and he kills all those millions of people that are there to fight against him, God's final message in verse 4 is this. For both of us, both them during that time and both for us during this time. Look at what it says in verse 4. Come out of the works of this world that we may not be as her. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that we would just be real careful, Lord, with the way we live our life, and we'd be cautious, and we would be true to you, Lord. And Father, for those who need to get back on track, they've kind of deviated, they've let society pull them away, or family, or friends, or others, or their circumstances pull them away from you, Lord, I pray that they'll come back to you today. They'll repent of that and trust you. For Lord, those who have never truly, there's never been a change in their life, they've always been off track. They prayed a little prayer, or they were baptized a long time ago, or they did this and that, some religious experience, but there's never been a heart change. They've never truly repented and surrendered to you. Lord, I pray that the conviction will be so heavy on them today that they will not be able to leave this place without surrendering to you. Lord, we love you, Lord, and just have your way with our remaining moments. In Jesus' holy and righteous name, amen. What number, brother?